AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Thank you for watching another episode of It's Up There Podcast. I am your active and attractive host for another episode of the fastest growing podcast, Big Noon. We are here today, man. It's a blessing. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have the platform. It's a pleasure to be in front of the people. You know, it's important, again, always to speak truth to power, you know. And it's also for the youngsters that's tapped in with me. It's so many people that tap in and hit me. And I'm telling you, man, these folks is really shocking me. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is really shocking me, far as, you know, I know everybody always tell me, you know, like, hey, Loon, bruh, you know what I'm saying? You be kicking game. And I know people come and drain my energy. And I know people come and get information from me. And I know people use me, you know, to navigate through life with damn near through my eyes. You know what I'm saying? I know these are real things, but when people start, like, it seemed like people just coming from all across the country, though. And they just like, man, damn, dude. Like, I stumbled up on this shit, and this shit here, you know, and it's like, and I'm sitting back like, I ain't even really kicked in the high gear yet. I'm still in situations where I'm not allowed even to, you know, engage with this shit like I would like to. You understand me? It keep me with my you know, just trying to keep my feet on solid ground and be a present in the moment, even in real life, and being able to, you know, financially carry what I need to carry, and always never needing or wanting for things that's a necessity in my life is important to me, you know. But before we get to all that, if you're watching the video version of this podcast and you want to tap in with the audio version, you head to anywhere you get podcasts at, and you go to It's Up There Podcast, and we should pop up. If you are listening to the audio version of this podcast and you want to check the video version out, then you head over to YouTube, and FOGFOTV is where we currently have the video, you know, at this time. And so there's a playlist. There's a couple of different things going on my YouTube. So there's clips there where it's just random topics, right, from the pod. But if you really want to hear the conversation in context, you got to find the playlist. It says It's Up There Podcast playlist, 4 episodes. And so put yourself in a situation to engage with me, man. I'm waking up to people cash-apping me, I'm waking up to people hitting me, man. Let me get you folks an air horn, man. I'm waking up. Let me say that again. I'm waking up to folks, supporters of mine, just cash apping me money. Just people who appreciate what I'm doing, just like, boom, man, keep going. And I come from the street. So where I come from, man, that, you know, it's always something attached to something. You know, it's always something attached to something. Ain't nothing really never done just to be done. Where I'm from, won't have the leisure. It ain't that, the opportunity never lied there. So it puts us in a position where every move damn near is calculated once you get to a certain level. Right, these things is people calling you and coming around you and doing certain things, those things turn into things, right? So just to be getting the love is, man, that shit is crazy to me. I'm talking about this something I'm just like, dog, y'all couldn't even understand. I think though where my strength lies and where the benefit is that I can feel the atmosphere change. See, everybody can pod, everybody can rap, everybody can talk, but what type of thinker are you? Are you able to navigate through the high weeds and know that there's something on the other side of that? Everybody else looking at a cornfield and, man, I can't get through there to get way. That's too much. And then what if you get way over, ain't nothing there? But I'm operating with the information to say, no, there's guaranteed there's something on the other side, right? So I'm able to understand that the atmosphere is changing. You know, you ever been outside? You know, there's a reason why they got a morning temperature and a night temperature, because change is inevitable for anything in life. Change will happen. It will happen. You must embrace it and change with it, because if you don't, anything that's not growing is dying. You understand me? So, or dead. You understand me? So, you know, it's like being outside. You know, you came out in shorts, but in some parts of America and some parts of the world, it's sunny in the daytime, and in nighttime it's 40 degrees. And so I think where my strength lies is I'm able to forecast what's happening in real time, though. You know what I mean? Before it happened, I'm able to pack my coat, my umbrella. I'm able to, you see what I'm saying? I'm able to see what's coming and how to navigate through it, and what to grab and what to let go, what to bring in and what to ship out, what to receive and what to, you know what I mean? So these are things that I know what to do, and so I think People are seeing that in me. And so sometimes, because I'm the guy that goes somewhere, right, and be quiet, sit back in the corner, watch, don't say nothing. But that's changing. When I go into places, people are gravitating to me. Just even at stores and things, they just want, what you think about this? What's over there? What you think about that? I'm just like, damn, this shit crazy. People want to hear what I'm thinking, right? I'm knowing this, you know, I've been in the street all my life, and I ain't fall victim to what post I post to feel victim to. You understand me? So I know I'm operating with some information, right? And I know I'm cold and I'm fire with it, and I'm reading, I'm on top of game. But what I didn't know was that other people can even see it through my eyes. So as thousands of people are rolling in saying, yo, dog, finally somebody such and such, or finally this, is like, it's a hell of a thing. You know, it's a hell of a thing. I ain't gonna even cap you now. It's doing something to me, man. You know, but of course I'm gonna keep going, of course I'm gonna keep partying, of course I'm gonna keep hustling, of course I'm gonna keep putting one foot in front of the other. I don't let no grass grow under my feet. These are the type of men you deal with when you deal with men like me. You know, and I want to talk about a few things today, right? There's a few things on my agenda. Of course, I want to tap in on what the culture has going on, but definitely also I want to tap in on relationships. I want to tap in on relationships. See, a lot of y'all who listen to me for the game and the real talk and the book shit and how you navigate through the game, y'all don't even know how much that I know about relationships. There's some people in real life that only come to me about relationships. And that don't mean my relationships go well. Again, that's just the thinker. It's about the perspective of the person looking at the problem. It's always about that. It's never the problem. It's about who you call in to look at the problem. Because your cousin mean a lot to you because you can't handle your cousin. But you call your cousin on me and get him killed. You see what I'm saying? And again, we don't say that because we promote violence, but I'm trying to grab you and bring you into what I'm saying to help you understand where I'm operating from. Because if you don't never get that, you don't never get me. And if you don't never get me, you wasting your time. You understand me? If you're going to be anywhere in the vicinity to listen to me and engage with me, you got to get me. Because if you don't get me, you wasting your time. You see, so it's all about who's looking at the problem, the perspective of the person that's looking at the problem. Again, a fire motherfucker run out their house because it catch on fire. Oh, my Lord. But there's some people you can call to come and put that fire out. They run into the fire. You understand me? So, again, it's about who you calling. It's about who you involved with. And if it was, see, they think I'm dumb enough not to understand that you wouldn't call me had I not knew nothing. But it's easy to downplay it because it's not tangible. It's not me giving you a dollar. It's not me giving you a piece of clothing or something you can feel, touch, or taste. It's me helping you navigate the unknown. It's me helping you navigate the unseen, which is my most valuable asset. People come and get that from me, right? And then act like I gave them nothing. I always tell y'all it's about perspective. It's about perspective. And so people being able to get my perspective and people being able to engage with me, man, it's been just a hell of a ride, man. And this is at the beginning. This is at the beginning. Like the phone calls and conference calls and the deals and the shit that I'm talking with people that been in the game for 10 years. People that make millions of dollars off of this. And they saying, hey, man, you got something. You own the something. Right? You got to understand what that does. You got to appreciate men. And that's how you get more. You see what I'm saying? And that's for anybody. That's if you got men working at your company, beloved. Appreciate. Just tell them thank you sometime. They'll do more than they expected to do. Help them understand that they make it easier for you to get through this thing. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what that shit be about, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's what that shit be about. But yeah, man, you know. I just wanted to take some time and talk to the people about that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just being there, man, being in tune and rocking out with me. So I also want to hit on, I'm fresh off looking at the, not even looking, listening about 5 or 10 minutes because, you know, I'm militant. You know, once I snap into pod mode, I only got a certain amount of time before I need to get rolling. You know, because I got to snap out of pod mode. And I might got to snap in the rapper. Or I might got to snap in the father. Or snap in the boyfriend. Or snap in the, you know. So, you know, I'm understanding that. Because I ain't this great for long out the day. When people come see me and they say, man, you kicking good shit. You got to understand, I got to wield this kind of shit. I don't have no notes. I ain't looking at nobody. I'm not feeding off nobody. There's nobody around. So I don't feed off anything but me. So you got to understand what it takes me to do those things. And sometimes if you're not a creator, you don't even understand. You can't even fathom. Why it means so much? What do you be? That's because you will never be able to do something like this respectfully. This ain't just a walk in the park for people. But nonetheless, I just looked at the or listened to about 5 or 10 minutes of the new Rory and Maul podcast. So Rory and Maul finally drops an episode. About time. Like, to me, it took a while, but I know there's business being done, especially coming off a deal where you may have looked like you may have dropped the ball on the M or some shit, you know, where you, I got to stop cussing. So it looked like you may have dropped the ball on about $1 million or something. So, you know, you probably want to get your business thoroughly checked through before we get back to it. And I haven't watched Joe Budden's podcast either. What I will say is, just off first listen, just off 5 minutes, 10 minutes of listening to it, I want to congratulate Maul and Rory on persevering. Again, I always operate from the standpoint of being left out, you know, looked over. Right? I had everything I got. What I wheeled into this life was wielded in by the grace of God and by whatever fruits that I bear, you know, the fruits of my labor. But I always operate from celebrating people that were counted out. That situation strikes me as unique as those guys, I would hope, revisit business at some point. I told y'all that Joe Budden is putting his company in a position to be worth, not worth, but making $0 or very little dollars, so that when they sue him, the paperwork would indicate that they don't get as much as they're anticipating. So that's the games he's playing. He didn't lose the Cash App deal. The Cash App deal is just in the tuck right now until we figure out this legal stuff they got going on. I think they're about to sue. So let's go into the bunker. Let's hide the money. Let's get the money out the way. Nonetheless, I also want to congratulate Joe Budden as he's trying to navigate. You know, and I don't want people to think I hate Joe Budden. You know, I don't really hate nobody. I don't, you know, I just speak from a standpoint of digesting the information. I think it's important to be critical about the information, seeing that there's thousands of people that sole goal is to get something from somebody that's done it before and done it on a high level. So I think even when we're talking, even when we're trying to articulate our points and we're trying to go down through there with the people, I think we got to be careful with what we say and present to them, but also present enough information to where it's tangible. It's something they can actually, you know, for the ones that can catch it, you know. And so Joe has always been great at what he does, you know, pardon or whatever the case is. I do think the dynamic of the show has changed and he won't be able to get off some of those long rants that people love him for. I think Ish is there now, which is he's much more of a contrarian. He's much more of a person that's going to present the opposite side and interrupt you. See, one thing about Rory and Maul that was interesting and also that I could appreciate is they knew how to pod. I always tell people, everybody can grab a mic and a camera and say, I'm going to do what Loon doing. But do you know how to pod? Do you know how to have a conversation? It's like a dance. It's an art to this. It looks like somebody's just talking, but it's a real art to this. So sometimes they would clear out and let Joe get his shit off. Even though I'm sure in their head sometimes they like, I can interrupt here and say something. But this is where you let him go into that isolation. LeBron James, get out the way. I'm going to try to get us some points. Right? And Ish and Ice don't appear to be doing that just yet. I don't think Ish has that bone in his body. Number one, he looks at Joe from his own mouth evenly, like you know, so he may not look at it. I think he respects opinion, so I'm not sure, but it's not the fabric of that type of situation isn't there yet. And we'll probably revisit that as they continue to pod. But one thing for sure, Maul and them got to get their audio together. Wherever they recording that, soon as you cut it on or I cut it on, I'm like, yo, Joe and them got him. He got to know what he's competing with. See, sometimes this is the issue. Right? See, this is the game. This is the game that I'm known for. This is the kind of shit that people appreciate me for. These type of topics. See how we're going somewhere and I pull back? Hold up. Stop that. Let's live there for a second. You got to know what you're competing with. I just come from, it's the same way in a relationship. Say, you going to be my girlfriend and then go get who? Who you going to get? Somebody I'm going to laugh at? And not that I'm going to be doing no laughing, because if you move on, that's your business. But are you going to be satisfied with that? After you've been in a situation that's been of this fabric. Right? Especially when you selling something. It's important for the CEO of Nissan to, if he get hired over at Ford, to at least perform at the height that he was at Nissan. I mean, that's just regular. You really want to make it totally different and add some jazz and mataz in it. Because you got some eyes on you that ain't going to be there for long if it ain't worth nothing. It's always about capitalizing on what's going on. Rory and Maul need to be critical of what they put out. In my opinion, it's been a while. In my opinion, they kind of taking too long, but that's my opinion. Nonetheless, I understand how business work, right? So handle your business. Number two is, when you do put something out, it need to be video all that same day. Like, it need to be, and it need to be in your own setup with some, like, y'all don't do this. And I don't know, because I haven't seen it all. But I'm telling them, hey, man, you competing with yourself, man. You competing with your last effort. Them dudes sounding good over there. Them cameras A1 over there. We got to see if y'all can do that. And the conversation, you can tell they got to get settled. You know what I'm saying? They just kept running on and on. You can tell they wouldn't even give a breather. When you listen to my podcast, sometimes I might say something and pause. And if you ain't the kind of individual engaged in the conversation on that level, this podcast is probably not for you. Because you got to be engaged as I dance through these things. You understand what I'm saying? So they was doing some whole bunch of, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, I see that they just got to get settled. They probably nervous. Could you imagine? Niggas is, I mean, acting like, nah, we ain't nervous. But could you even, I'm a potter. I get nervous before interviews or talking to some of these individuals that can change the situation and things like that. And I operate with a lot of information and not necessarily needing the money. And I know they operate, they got some money, their business probably intact. But what they doing is they got to get settled. And they probably, like I said, they probably nervous in a month. Like, damn, man, they ain't going to mess with it. Do we got to try to feel what he was doing? Or do we just go totally left and just do us? What is doing us without him? He going through the same thing on the other side. What is doing him without them? You see him struggle over there, and them is boys, so it lights it up a little bit. But the pod is not going the way that everybody is probably thinking it's going. Their chemistry's gone. You see Joe Budden positioning now. He like rappers now. He like everybody that interviewing pod now. He's shouting out Wallow now. He's shouting out all these people. He's panicking. He's rich, but he's panicking. Because what made me rich, I don't need that to be the last little money I get. And now, do I still value it at the same amount? Was it really just me? Is it still worth whatever? Say it was worth whatever it was worth. I won't even put a number on it. Is it still worth that seriously without them? You're going to say, yeah, it still gets people still watching, right? I don't know, though. Because I don't know how long this thing go. But you see him trying to go left. I mean, interviewing people and Chris Hansen and Cat Williams and this and that and Migos, I want to talk to you. And this is Mr. I don't want to talk to rappers. Nonetheless, Rory and Maul doing good on their podcast. I'm going to listen to it tonight. I'll report on it on next podcast. Again, I only did 10 minutes of it just to, you know, see what they was on, see what type of vibration they was on. And like I say, get your audio. Somebody tweak your audio. Don't let, because that's something they going to talk about behind the scenes. But somebody need to tweak their audio and then move forward. So also last weekend, Floyd, Logan Paul, I've been having the name wrong. I don't even tap in with these with this type of thing, but it's important that I do so. So Floyd and Logan Paul had a fight. You know, I watched it. I tuned in. The fight ended up being a situation where it went all 8 rounds. Floyd, in my opinion, dominated the fight. Logan Paul may have hit him once, twice, where it actually was a meaningful hit, not even a knockout type of thing. But Floyd, to me, dominated the fight. Now, people are saying Floyd should have knocked him out. I think Floyd should have knocked him out. But I also think that you're in a weird place with this type of thing. Floyd being 50-0, had that been an exhibition, had that been a real fight, dude would have lost really bad. Number one, because he was doing a lot of illegal shit. It ain't that you can't hold, it's the type of holding. It ain't that you can't block, it's the type of block. It's the type of little thing that you do. And the reason why he's doing it is because he's not as skilled. And when you get tired and you're not as skilled, you resort back to anything. I don't want to get hit. Right? So you see the first couple of rounds, Floyd walking him down. Big boy, walk him down. Come talk to me. Talk to me nice now. Bop, boop, bop. Talk to me nice. Then he come with these flurry of punches that was hitting nothing, right? So Floyd blocking, then Floyd started smiling. Floyd looking at him, right? Eye to eye. Boy, you exhausted. What I will say, though, Floyd was getting tired. That big boy, because them 30, 40 pounds, that's a different thing. You can push around a dude your size, right, all the time. But the way he was grabbing him and the way he was doing little shit that looked like just backyard type shit, right? That gets in the way of me being able to really get to you how I would another boxer. So many people put it on Floyd saying, man, this dude only been fighting 2 years. Yeah, that's why he was doing a bunch of illegal little shit where, like, he was holding him and dude, like, yo, stop holding him. Even the announcers was saying, like, yo, they would have took points there. He's told him that, like, and then you see Floyd push him up over the thing, like, stop holding me, because he want to hit him and knock him down. Floyd's idea was let him 3-4 rounds, let him do his thing and turn it up a little bit, 5 and 6 and 7, and he'll go down. But what happened was 5, 6, and 7, he started holding and doing little shit. If I was Floyd, I would stay away from them young boys, man. Because if it ain't no judges, it really ain't no rules. So if I do something illegal, what you going to leave out the fight? I keep doing something illegal and hitting you. You going to leave? No. Because you want the money. So what you going to do is you playing a dangerous game. So if I was Floyd, I would stay away from them boys. I would stay away from all them young boys with all that old, you know, especially somebody 30, 40 pounds that don't have the ring knowledge, that don't have the intellect inside of the square, you know, that he even understand how to hold his feet. And that little practice, that go, we talking about 50 years. So it's natural to do not to hold you in a certain way. And, you know, it's just natural for him. And so fighting, it's like fighting somebody super duper wild. You know, you'll probably whoop them, but they might get some in. It's like, man, they done scratched me all up with all that wild. They don't know what they doing. You know what I'm saying? So I just think with your legacy on the line, it's going to have to be at least some kind of judges there to where you can be disqualified. There's no winner or loser, but you can be disqualified for doing certain things. You know, because they're going to get wilder and wilder until they figure out how to do something and hit him. And then he just saying, damn, but they can't take points, so they don't lose the fight like that. And they don't end the fight like that. So they can really just keep doing this. And the ref just got to keep telling them, stop doing that. Hey, stop doing that. So if I was dude, I would stay away from him. I think I think though, with the emerge of these exhibition boxing matches, with them being at the forefront and celebrity boxing being a thing where people are going to get two people from two different areas and saying, hey, yeah, let's get it going. Let's go get a bag with the boxing. In a weird way, in my opinion, it's taken away from the WWE. Not for the kids, right? But there's a WWE customer that's probably about 24, 23. You know, a little older guys that kind of grew up on it, that if they kind of cater to Ultimate Warrior and all that kind of shit, they'll get them to come in. Because these events are starting to become big. And then they're navigating to the digital space. People like Logan Paul and Jake Paul and a lot of these social media guys and all of that, they're getting a lot of fans paying attention to this thing. So in a weird way, in my opinion, it is kind of taken from the WWE. I want to talk about this Young Blue situation. For those of you that don't know, Young Blue, you know, bought his sister a Chrysler 300. And the internet went crazy. The internet started saying, why would you buy such a cheap car? And you rich and you got all this money. You got songs with Drake. You got this, you got that. I want to say something about the internet. Because, see, again, me operating from a place where I understand things. I understand that the internet is a weird place. I understand that it's a place where many opinions lie with no tangible results attached to them. A lot of people that's talking ain't never did anything. A lot of people are living room ball players. You know, what they would have done, what you should have done, how it could have been done, but they never done anything. They never put themselves in a situation to be faced with any level of criticism or been able to hold the family on their back. Nobody's never looked at half the people even commenting on this. Nobody's really even looked at a lot of them to even get a car. The dudes that can afford to buy people cars not commenting on stuff like that on the internet. It's irresponsible with our time, and we understand time is everything that we have. See, it's important to be responsible with your time, responsible with your outlook. It's important to be responsible with the ingredients that you put inside of what you're trying to do. Like a lot of people just turn, you know, they just turn into things, you know, especially on this internet, you know. And that's why I started to do this kind of thing, because I need you to be able to see there ain't no flustering. There's no one, you know, certain things are in you and certain things are on you. Whatever's on you can be took off you. You know, whatever's on you can be took off you. But nonetheless, you know, he buys a 300 for his sister. You know, he buys a 300 for his sister. And then you got everybody coming out. You know, people coming from all walks of life saying that's a bad thing to do. What I need people to understand, number one, first of all, again, I want to reiterate that the internet is a weird place. You know, the internet is a strange place. It's important to be grateful. Half of our men, anyway, black men, we deal with being unappreciated in every facet of our lives. And here we are, done wheeled and dealt our way into a position to be the head of the family and be able to even buy cars or be in situations where we can help people. And then we still get criticism based on what we buy. Number one, you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know what all I've done. You don't know what I'm up against. You don't know if I said I bought you that car, but I put $100,000 in your bank account. It's your birthday or whatever, you graduated. You never know what I done in conjunction with. That's number one. Number two, you got to be grateful. You know, I've bear witness to even me, and I've been witness to people walk past humans and go holler at dogs. You know, an ungrateful person is way worse than a grateful dog. A grateful dog is better than an ungrateful person, right? Because a dog, you'll come in and they happy. They want to deal with you. They embrace you. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you got to be critical of your company to even understand what's around you. But people are ungrateful to be talking about this car thing. Like, what are y'all talking about? Dude bought the car. What we doing? Like, I'm thoroughly confused. You know, but the internet is a weird place. You know, it's a very weird place. It'll have you thinking, and that's why I see a lot of celebrities fall victim to it. Number one, it's because they dance with it. See, when you dance in that arena, it validates it on some weird way to you. Because I pull all my money off the internet, now they saying this on the internet. You see what I'm saying? So in a weird way, it's like it's forcing these guys into a situation to have to defend themselves. But in my opinion, a response is half admission. You know, if you respond to certain things, it's half admission. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you gotta just be like, yo, but it'll make you think that the world, you know, and the internet'll make you think that the world is monolithic when it's not. You know, the world has so many diverse opinions, so many people that appreciate things that you think people don't appreciate based on who's been in and out your life and who's there for seasons and who's there for reasons, how much time they spent there, what they got, why they was there, what they put in with you. It'll make you think that the internet will make you think that the world is monolithic when it's not. And sometimes they'll get on there and criticizing you and saying things, and what'll happen is you'll come out, and he came out and responded and said something about, you know, I thought Chrysler 300s was cool when I was broke, so that's what I bought her, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think that's even necessary. But again, I can't tell because my money come out the street. You understand me? Not illegally, I'm saying, you know. But what I'm saying is you can't be on the internet. I think that when you dance in that arena, it just validates it and it make you want to, I'm going to respond to these dudes. You know what I'm saying? Because they got me messed up. No, they don't. They just talking. A lot of them people just talking. And whoever ain't talking, tell them what they buy their people. And then if they did buy them something, what you got, though? What type funds you got? What you working with? How many properties you working with? You know, what you done indulged in? What you engaged with? What you reading? What you on? Who is you? You know what I'm saying? And I don't think any of it's important. I just got to do what I got to do for my people. And whoever like it, salute. Whoever don't like it, salute. Violation took care of on the spot. But other than that, we got to keep moving. Because it's a goal in mind. And I can't take my mind off the goal when it's too many people depending on me to get to the other side. You understand what I'm saying? Man, listen. I'm going to put you down. There's beautiful flowers in the world that ain't even got scents on them. And then there's beautiful women in the world that you can't love, that's unlovable. So the world is a weird place. My advice to people is, man, keep your head down and keep getting the money. These folk going to have you. No, it ain't. Yeah, it is. No, it ain't. Yeah, it is. No, it ain't your ass to death, man. When you trying to really do something with something. I'm hustling. I don't got time to go back and forth with nobody when I'm in the middle of some shit that ain't nobody done around me. I need to keep my head on the swivel. Y'all coming to me about these frivolous things. I got a real job to do. And it ain't no indication of how to get there. My head badly above water fucking with this. And then you got people coming at me about things that I ain't even. Yo, fam. Hold that. I don't got time for it. I'm indulging in something that I got to keep my head on. Slippers count. And if I slip now, I'm almost sure that I won't make it happen. You understand me? So I'm operating with enough information not to be naive to the goal. And I understand that the goal and this promise that's attached to what I'm doing, it deserves preparation. it deserves for me to be in a position to be able to do it and do it at a high level without interruption, without motherfuckers coming at me about things that, therefore, in my opinion, should have been even looked over. I don't got time for it. I'm hustling. I'm building. I'm a builder. I'm a builder. Right? And when you a builder, people can't tap into that when they don't understand it. I can look at a house and know, oh, that's, they put that together cheap. Because again, some people ask what it's worth and some ask what it's cost. It's two different kind of people. Some people ask what it's worth. Some people ask what it's what it costs. And you got to know what side you fall on. You got to know what side you fall on. I know where I stand at. I know where I stand at. You understand me? So, you know, being in a situation where you fall victim to criticism on the internet and people want to call you out about this, they want to call you out about that when they ain't doing nothing. Who doing what you doing? Who doing what you, like, see, it's an old saying where I come from. It ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. I always tell y'all, it's about who looking at it. You don't want me, you don't want to be my enemy. You don't want to be my enemy because we all have flaws and I can dissect and detect shit. And I can read you your rights. I can put you in a position to know exactly what I was trying to say when I was saying it. And let you know how I tailor-made that based on you. And it's undeniable. I've took the time. My mind works in a different way. If you don't understand that, you can't understand me. And I got to draw the line there. I'm wasting my time indulging in things that ain't even... You got to be of a certain fabric. It's all about who looking at it. Just like I was looking last night. I was looking at a documentary on Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff, which is the guy who scammed everybody out of billions and billions of dollars. He scammed J.P. Morgan. And I'm talking about he was scamming Big Boy. But again, it's all about who looking at it. They put him under investigation. They went to looking in things. They couldn't put it together. It was one young dude over here on the side named Harry. They gave him the dude paperwork because he was trying to bring on another investor. That's what I tell you. Now, let me really tell you what happened, because for those of you that may not know what happened, you may be lost at what I'm saying. Bernie Madoff was scamming people. He was in a situation where he was an investor on Wall Street, right? Investors on Wall Street, or these little companies that investors attach themselves to, typically only have 15 people on the staff or investors. Like, only 15 people can work with them to make money. Anything other than that, then it starts to become and look like that you may kind of can control based on if you get all these people to invest at once, then the market, you kind of can influence the market, and they try to alleviate you from being able to do that. So they kind of usually a high number would be 15. Dude had 3,500 people working for him, investors. So the height is 15 and he had 3,500. You do with that what you may. Continuing with the scenario, the SEC looked at it. They got nothing from it. However he had it done or whatever connections he had, so he tried to bring on this other guy. And this other guy got some people like Harry working for him. Me, I'm Harry in this space right here. But nonetheless, he had people like this guy named Harry working for him. This guy looks into the paperwork. 4 hours is all it took. And he cracked the code for the whole Ponzi scheme. Nonetheless, only reason why I wouldn't be Harry is because Harry then turned around and sent that paperwork in, and ultimately he ratted, you know. So that's something that we don't share. But the ability just to look at something in that short time that these same people been looking over for years and they can't see nothing. That's the same concept I keep telling them. Like, these guys are stuck. They was wheeled into this. So they stuck. They're not savvy anymore. They don't have any ideas. And so when you talk about people like me, insert me into the game, then you got a fresh pair of eyes. I can look at that for 4 hours. Like sometimes, man, I give folks game. I don't even know I'm giving them game. They come talk to me. They keep telling me Loon start a masterclass. People come talk to me sometimes. I might be saying something to them. And they be like, man, I'm soaking all that up, man. That's good game. And I'm just talking. I ain't in a position to sell a masterclass yet because they ain't gave me enough information. I can't get over on people because I know what it's like being on the other side with $25,000 in your account and you finna take 10 to try to throw a show, or 15, maybe 17. So you praying you can rub shoulders with somebody that ain't going to overcharge you. You ain't operating with that type. So I know what it's like to be in that situation. So I speak for those kind of individuals. I just happened to fall into a position where I just became a raw man. I just became, and I went and got it. I keep telling you, when they leave you for dead, it allows the element of surprise. They forgot about me, man. They thought I was gonna just run off and be broke and crazy. They look up, who was that dude? What happened? Last time we saw dude, he was trying to get it together. He was asking people, throw him something. Now he won't even let us buy nothing from him. You see what I'm saying? So things are about perspective. So they put the dude on it in 4 hours. He cracked the code, sent it to the SEC, and ultimately that's what you see. They kind of led the investigation with. Basically took his paperwork one by one and went and arrested the people because he laid out how they're doing it, what they're doing. These folks were making money. They were just moving numbers around, just making money. It was fake, though. He was scheming everybody. Take your money to do this and make the stock rise and pay them, and then take their money and pay y'all. And take, you know what I'm saying? That's supposed to be illegal. I think it's a lot of things happening that's supposed to be illegal, especially when it involves finances and financial gain and things like that. Some of the biggest names, some of the biggest corporations have been a part of scandal and been in situations where you know, they fell victim to being in some financial situations where they wanted to gain some things by bending the rules a little bit. And that's what pisses me off, because when we do anything as black men, we can't. If you got a theft charge for $500 or under, you can't get a job as a black man. Not that they're going to pull you and say, hey, man, what was you stealing, man? Well, man, my daughter, man, she was at home. Me and my baby mama had kids, man, and I didn't have no money. I went and got some diapers, man. Here's my police report that says I had they called me with try to leave Walmart with a shopping cart of diapers, man, and I was just trying my best to get to the house. So it ain't that I'm a thief, man. I was just, you know, it ain't the circumstances. You know, it's what I didn't have that made those circumstances arise. Like, I'm not somebody to just steal from people, right? See, it's a difference, you know, because everybody know thieves are, don't nobody like thieves. Nobody in the world like thieves. And I get that. I feel that. I understand that. But some people ain't thieves. Some people's situation breeds necessities are missing. It's what's absent that's pushing me toward what I don't really want to do, but I don't know what else to do. There ain't no information. There's no way you can go as a black man and say, you go to the food stamp office as a black man, they going to look at you like, what is, it's just a certain thing that come with it. White boys go down there with their flip-flops and hang around, and white women and black women, and it's cool. We assume with women, kids are involved, so there's no shame in regards to that, but you see a man down there, it's a total different look for a white man at the food stamp office, but or a black man at the food stamp office. The black man, they instantly think he getting over on the system, or he a drug dealer, or he on drugs, or he dangerous. A white boy, he just hitting a bad lick, maybe a college student. They give them folks the benefit of the doubt. they getting folks the benefit of the doubt, you know. So it's just about basically who looking at it, you know. And you know, because again, perspective is key. I always drill at home to my supporters and people that listen and look at me, like, perspective is key. You know, and you know what separates the men and the mice, you know, you do with that what you may, what side you fall on. But what separates the men and the mice is execution. That's why I don't really never get too caught up in when I see somebody doing all this, all that talking. You ain't showed me nothing. You got to show me something. You got to show me something. Cause I know everybody knows something, but who executing it? That's what that them the special men, them the special people. Who executing? What your execution look like? That's why you see the feds talk about we got a 95% conviction rate. They never tell you what the appeal rate is. Because they try to highlight the execution. Because we can appreciate execution. I come from a place where people is only talking. People be talking. They just, you know, the lazy person always about to do something. Oh, I was about to do something. You see me, I'm doing it. You see me, I'm showing it. Right? And so I use the internet more so as a tool. As a tool to get rich. I want to be clear with that. But also as a tool to get some information out to people that they can digest. That put them in a situation to say, man, I ain't never look at it like, yeah. Man, how do come up with, what are you talking about, dog? That man just said, where you get that from? That little dude, where he from? He say, nobody in there, y'all. Bro, who is who? Y'all know who giving them the money? Where the money coming from? What or not, y'all? Who? Which one of y'all teaching dude, man? Who? Now, I went to school with bro. Now, I remember he used to have the such and such. But man, we don't know, bro. I went and got it on my own. And when I say I went and got it, I went and got perspective. I went and got polished. I went and got prepared. I went and got polished some more. You understand me? Because what you got to know is the world is always a place where they going to love you, they going to hate you, and they going to love you again. I'm trying not to fall victim to either one of those circumstances. I'm trying to fall in the place where I'm constantly putting the money up and trying to further whoever is on my, if you on my radar, man, y'all get with me, let's get it. I haven't got to a place where I'm able to just say, hey, I ain't got there yet. So I'm putting myself one foot in front of the other every day trying to be better than I was the day before and smarter and more wittier. You understand, a better father and a better boyfriend or husband, a better human being. See, because what they don't know about me is I like for you to underestimate me. That's what I appreciate about you people. The underestimation. Oh, man, that put me in a position to step on all of them. I also want to talk about the T.I. situation. T.I. and Tiny, of course, you for those of you didn't hear me speak about the T.I. and Tiny situation, I spoke about not in particular their situation, but I just spoke about a threesome with love attached to her. See, them different threesomes. There's categories with things, there's levels to things in life, and so a threesome with love attached to it, just a little bit different. So I kind of went down that road. Of course, you ain't going to hear nobody else talk like that, because they come from out this side of the street. You got to come park over here to get that. Right, but nonetheless, I want to revisit some of it. Never have I said T.I. was guilty, because I don't know. I think the atmosphere was confusing. I think the atmosphere was confusing, right? Because you're dealing with people. You know, I always say when you deal with somebody that got somebody, and then that somebody happens to be in the presence because we don't want to hide or deny them access to everything involved because we want to still share that honesty and that transparency, and we want to share whatever that may be, flaws that some people may call it. We want to share that with our significant other, right? But that atmosphere, especially with your significant other being at the helm of it and being able to influence it in a way where she feels more comfortable. Sometimes you can put people in situations where they need to kind of check off a certain amount of things before they're able to get back here and get in this situation. We all got standards and we all got things that we want to stand by and stand on. It's important to stick to those, though. It's important to stick to those. And I think just with them, I think the atmosphere got confusing, you know. And so now some people are trying to interpret the atmosphere as it was whatever that they're calling it now. I don't recall the words that they're using, and I don't want to attach any word to it that can therefore further the understanding or misunderstanding of some circumstances that I were not there to be a part of. With that being said, one of the young ladies, and I really don't know names, I don't really say names, you know, they send cease and desist and they kind of want to try to, you know, whatever, but one of the young ladies demanded an apology from T.I. and she wanted it within 7 days, and it was non-negotiable, and she said she'll move on with her life after she got that apology from him. T.I. in turn said apology, dropped a record, and said that he's retiring from music. The record he dropped was basically going down through there like, man, this what it come to? Y'all putting me in a situation where, like, then what y'all doing? Y'all saying I took something? Y'all searing? Y'all trying to push that I took something? Or I was in position to where somebody got done what to? You understand? So I get it. It's an unfortunate situation. But I want to more so talk about apologizing and the apology and the sorry word. See, to me, and I was talking to my homeboy about this the other day. Sorry ain't no, and I really ain't, that ain't really, you feel me? That ain't really, number one, sorry ain't apologizing. Because sorry don't mean I apologize. Sorry mean, you ever see a team that's got the score 0 to 64, they sorry. That's what sorry is. I'm sorry, meaning that I'm a sorry-ass motherfucker, man. I done that. Now, you only sorry and apologizing a lot of times when you get caught. There's a couple of different kind of people. You got some people that do something to you, and it's on their mind, and it's hurting their feelings, and they don't stand to gain nothing. But they want to come get that back, man. Damn, I'm finna get this money back to you, man. Damn, I stole your money, man. I'm sorry, man. I apologize, bro. Man, that been eating me up. I done that. That, to me, is the vein that an apology has to come to. Through, I mean. To me, when you apologize after you've been caught, it's like you can't feel sincere about that because you got caught, and that's the only reason that's the situation. You see what I'm saying? And so the young lady asked him to apologize. He declined and kind of talked hard about it. Like, how dare y'all asking me to apologize for something that I don't even see, or there's no real cases. There's no real nothing. It's kind of just talking. Right. It doesn't mean just because there's no cases that nothing didn't happen. But if we start judging things based on that premise, we'll be here all day. Right. We got to have something to really go on a lot of these things. Somebody got to file something or something. Y'all ain't got no semen or no. Let's figure this out. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you got to And like I said, my standpoint and my stance was always, hey man, a threesome with love attached to it is a different ball game. Yeah, that's a different ball game. That ain't that regular smuggler. That ain't that I met a woman at the club and it's two of them. We talking about somebody that love you that's laying down with you and somebody that may want to be with you or may want to indulge with you without beloved in the way. You know, it's all kind of dynamics and variables that go into that where that atmosphere surrounding that can get slippery. It can get slippery. Yeah, so, you know, you just got to be careful when you're dealing with people, man, and how you're dealing with people, you know, in this industry, man. It get tricky, you know, and it get tricky from a standpoint of sometimes, man, I'm just trying to protect myself. And that's when NDAs come in place and, you know, hey, man, you know, you can't have your cell phone or, you know what I'm saying? Because they'll get the, it's clout attached to certain names. It's clout attached to certain allegations. It's clout and money attached to certain, yeah, that's financial gain associated with making me look like, yeah, they want to talk to you about that. I've been squeaky clean. I talk good. You say he did what? You talking about that boy that talk good? He did what? The dude with the song with, you say he did, like, can I talk to you? It's money attached to that. And certain people understand that. Certain people trying to get on Love and Hip Hop and, you know, all these other little shows on Fuse and these other network, these folk trying to figure something out for their life. You know, and so sometimes things get slippery. And again, I'm not saying nothing happened. I'm saying nothing has been charged. That's what I'm saying. And unfortunately, in America, when things happen criminally, there's this little system in place where the blacks have always been held accountable. Sometimes, and more times than not, unfairly accountable for things that took place. So without those things happening, I'm trying to figure out, you know, allegations are allegations, man, and it's affecting money. But like, what we gonna do when we see, like, let us see what's going on. Let's talk about Kim K. Kim Kardashian. They just said Kanye West unfollowed Kim and a couple of her family members. And I seen a clip going around where Kim Kardashian said that she feels like a failure. She's on her third marriage. And been in a situation where they've all didn't work, you know, for different reasons, I would imagine. Not sure. Sometimes it can all be for the same reason. And she feels like a failure. She expressed some emotion about that when she was communicating that on camera for her TV show. Do with that what you may. What I would say is that sometimes you're supposed to feel like a failure. You know, once you step back and you consider everything that you put into it. See, and that's why sometimes I don't do the sixth place trophies and I don't do the premature praises. Praise undeserving is satire. You're harming somebody, telling them that they're great so quick. You gotta be careful with how you navigate this world. This thing has been here for a while. You can't beat this. I'm just doing it my way. All right, let's see. Now, you can do that if you operate with information, though, of what all the other ways are, just in case. But you can't be dumb enough just to say, I'm doing it my way. I don't have no type of information. I'm just, however I feel, I'm finna do it. They got too much shit in place to negate that. And you'll be red tape every corner you go on. And you got to navigate through there and then do what you want. Right? But anyway, I don't do premature things. I don't give people... and I don't expect. See that? I don't give people, nor do I expect praise when it's undeserving because it's satire. And so sometimes there's value in feeling like and really understanding that I've done something wrong, because that's how you learn from it. Right? So that feeling of a failure, if you didn't feel like that, I would kind of question your love. Because when I consider what goes into relationships and marriages, what you put into that. Everything that goes into wanting to be with somebody and the compromising that you're doing and the ability to be able to put someone else at the forefront of your mind and navigate life always thinking about them and not just yourself, but me, her, and us, and I, and him, and, you know, just being able to do that is always a hell of a thing. You know, it's draining. It's a lot. You got to say, damn, man, I'm putting all this into you, and then it don't work. And then next time that you got to put it all in, it take a little bit more for a month for somebody to get your quote unquote all. So then you do it again and it didn't work. And then another time, man, it's going to take some working to get my all. Then they get your all and it don't work again. I just feel like that that feeling to be there. That feeling to be there. I think the problem is, when that feeling stays, there ain't nothing wrong with getting hurt. Ain't nothing wrong with being sad. Ain't nothing wrong with crying. Ain't nothing wrong with tripping and falling. Ain't nothing wrong with failing. But you got to move on from that. You got to move on from that. That's where the problem arises. Ain't nothing wrong with you lost your job and you fell off and you got injured and you couldn't find a job and you kind of went broke, lost your house, lost your cars, didn't have none, barely was eating, lost some weight, lost your family. But if you stay there, you become homeless, you become useless, you become worthless in society standards. So what you have to do is I got to get back up. And chances make champions. Chances make champions, man. So, you know, if you don't feel like you failed, if it doesn't work, you didn't put enough time in. And also, you can't fail if you never give up on it. So in some weird way, does that mean that she didn't want to give up on it? Because once you give up on something and you can stand on that, man, I done everything I could. That's over with. I know I took care of my business. I know I took care of my business. I don't feel no way about that. It's over with. You have a great life. I wish you the best. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you can operate from that. But other times you operate from, damn, did I do enough though? And then that's based on who you're dealing with, because value lies differently for each person. Or for different men, I say that. I think we all fall in one of these categories, but you got to know how to talk life. You got to know how to talk to your guy. You got to know how to talk to your girl. You got to know how to teach her. She got to know how to indulge with you and engage with you. I always tell people, if you just appreciate a guy, you're going to get the world out of him if he can give it to you. But the problem is they spend so much time telling men what they do wrong that they don't even appreciate what he does right, what he does give, what he does offer, what he is involved in, what type of guy he is. You stuck on, man, you said this to me, right? So not to say that don't matter, but to ignore everything else is where the issue arises. Now, when you put yourself in a position where you weighing things up with a clear head, you saying, well, damn, I'm messing with a dude. He don't never take me nowhere. I'm messing with a dude that don't even come home at night. I'm messing with a dude that I talk to twice a week. I'm justified in what I'm thinking. I'm justified in saying, hold up, man, you ain't on nothing. What you on, I ain't with that. But when you got the guy, they always say, man, if you see somebody trying, you better appreciate that. Especially to me, it's a shortage on guys. Dudes going to the penitentiary. Dudes is gay. You know how many women praying and hoping that they can get in touch and involved and around somebody that can love them and also teach them and lead them and really be about some. This ain't just you go down the street and you bump into these kind of guys. You're going to bump into somebody that's giving you what's called, and this is what I'm glad I'm here. You're going to bump into somebody giving you low level shit, right? I was telling somebody that there's two different things with when encounters with the opposite sex or whatever you do. There's two different things. There's a high level relationship and a low level relationship. You got to know which one you're getting at the man. The low level relationship, and usually these standards kick in after sex has been had several times. Then you get to see what level you're getting, because a lot of times guys will play a game to get up on you and get the pool nanny. They gonna play a game to do that, so you gonna hear some of the best things you ever heard, and you gonna indulge in a way that seems like you've met somebody that'll put you in a position to, hey man, this is what it is. But where you judge a man is after he's done got your most prized possession. Some dudes will stop taking you on dates. Some dudes only want to come over at night now, so they can. Some dudes talk to you twice a week. Some dudes won't even indulge with you outside of the sexual encounter. Right? That's low level shit. That's low level relationship. That's people giving you a phone call here and there, take you out here and there. The high-level relationship is the committed man. That's the man that does want to see you put a dress on and go to a dinner. That'll put a suit on when he don't wear suits. That'll come home every night and hold you and whatever you're trying to do. We want to get money together. We want to watch TV together. We want to cook together. You want to decorate the house. That's somebody operating that they messing with you. But the dude that's just, or the girl, you got girl giving low level relationships too now. You know, the woman that want to see you prosper, the woman that want to bring you your plate, the woman that want to cook for you, that want to cook for your kids, the woman that want to rub your back, that want to have you sexually satisfied. The person that want to look at you and say, man, you doing it, man. Just keep going. I got you on everything else. I'm going to keep this house together for you. You keep going. You're going to get us there, baby. That's high level. The low level is discrediting you. Somebody telling you everything that's yours and everything that's attached to you, it's a reason why that don't mean more as much to them as it do to you. The low level is, I give you some head once here and there, every two, three days. But no, I ain't got the room clean when he get done doing in the studio. I ain't got no room clean and smelling good. Man, I'm in here just doing nothing. That's low level. I ain't got the house together when he get done in there for 4 or 5 hours trying to figure out the next move and fighting this industry and trying to get in to secure some money. I ain't done nothing. But the woman that want to be there for you, the woman that want to say, you know what, dude, I see what you putting into that. And that's all dudes need, believe it or not, beloveds out there. And those of you that motivate your man and stand by him, you know that dude will fight the world. That dude's ready. Boy, when he leave here, boy, he feel like Superman. This house here, he know he the king. He know we rocking with him. He know we know he got the best interest of the whole thing. We know we rocking with dude. Them type dudes there, they become your millionaires. So a lot of guys and a lot of girls, you got to be careful with who you got around you. They can be slowing you down. They can be draining that out of you. Me, I appear to be great. People love me. People say, hey, man, you the truth. People don't know me. People don't know what I battled to even get here. Just imagine if everything was really the way I needed it. I'd be in a situation where ain't no telling what'll come out of that. But you see me operating this high while I'm dealing with everything else that's operating dysfunctional. Right? And I always tell people I'm flawed up. So I don't want people to, and it's starting to get scary because people are looking at me like I'm, you know what I mean? So I want people to know. I've been saying this a lot lately on my shows. I'm flawed. I do not think I know everything. I do not think I'm perfect. I understand exactly what I'm doing. I'm not in a position to be naive operating on this high level. It just can't be the circumstances. So I gotta always tell y'all that so y'all don't never, ever, if you trying to emulate or you trying to take whatever you can from me, understand it's never that. It's never somebody on this side thinking that he perfect. But this dude do understand what he brings to a situation. I understand my worth, my value. I understand what's out there. I understand what's in here. I understand these things. So I operate with those things in mind. You know. So, yeah, you know, Kim K kind of feeling like their relationships can do that to you. You know, it's few things that's more harmful than more harmful to the mind than a failed relationship. You know, especially when you've settled down and you've tried to do what it is that you feel as though you need to do. So I wanted to speak on that just on behalf of that, you know, just on behalf of that game and put that game down because it's a lot of people that don't understand that. Another thing is with the low level and high level relationships, you can't treat those two people the same. Right? Because you could take, if you have a low level relationship with a person, you could tell them I'm going to take your sex. I'm going to take sex from you. That these are the girls that hold sex back, right? Like, or the guys or whoever that I'm mad so I'm not having sex. Or I'm mad so I'm not doing anything sexual. I have these things on my mind. These kind of people, they don't understand, like, when you are, and I'm talking about living together, intimate relationships with one another. When you hold something from a man like that, you now turn the relationship into a low-level relationship. Now, you got to consider a few things. Now you got to consider what you're taking. You're taking your sex away from this guy. Did you ever consider what your sex meant to this guy? What if your sex don't even mean as much as you put on it to this guy? Now he see you taking something like that from him and saying, you can't be serious. This how you think? This what you think? You taking some sex from me and you think that that's going, you think that's doing anything? Number one, if you're going to take your sex, you better be having some real, real, real good sex. A lot of people think sex is overrated because they dealing with people that need them. If you deal with a man that needs somewhere to stay or need you to pay for the room, he going to act like your head was fire and your sex was the greatest sex. If you deal with a woman that needs some money or, you know, need this or need that, she going to act like the sex is good. So, and not to mention people, especially men, say anything to get sex. So they'll just say, man, that was so fire. They just want to do it a couple of more times before they run off. And not all men. Some men want to love you, but it ain't based on your sex. That's what I'm saying. The naive young ladies that think that it's based on my sex, so I'm going to take it from him. Your sex supposed to be the cherry on the cake. It supposed to be, man, that boy, you supposed to be able to look at your dude and say, where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? I'm instrumental in your life, man. And that don't mean he can't leave, but I'm just saying you supposed to feel like, look what I do in your life. I take good care of you. I try to do this for you. I do that. I make sure this. I'm always this. When you get done with that, I'm right here doing this. And when you get done with over there, I'm making sure this is done. Even if I can't be there, this was took care of, such and such and such. Because if I got money, right? If I got money and I got all this knowledge that I got, what you got for me? Oh, so you going to sex me down. Well, then I know your sex finna be fire. And I know it's finna be consistent. That's another thing. Yeah, I know it's finna be consistent because that's all you really offering me. While on the other side, I'm offering you all kind of...
I want to talk about this, and I wasn't going to talk about it, but I got to talk about it because it's important for me to speak truth to power. And it ain't, you know, if you get offended by my words, I think it says more about you than it does about me. I've always made it clear that I'm critical of the information simply because I understand that the lack thereof has been our obstacle as black men our entire existence. And so... when I speak about things, I speak from that standpoint, and I'm always clear in why I'm speaking and when I'm speaking and how to do it, right? And so for those of you that engage with me off of clickbait or whatever is happening out there, that's for you. But for me, it's important to always speak about things from a realistic standpoint, from a creative standpoint, from an individual, independent, that come out the street, that's wheeled his way into an industry that left me no information and will continue to move forward and climb the ladder at a pace that's probably unprecedented, right? So with that being said, Meek Mill, Jay-Z, Michael Rubin, I think is his name, bought Robert Kraft a Bentley, and then the internet blew up. The internet blew up to see black men by this guy. And for those of you who don't know, Robert Kraft is now, I think, the owner of the Patriots. So he's operating with a whole bunch of money. And so here we are. We got some of our prominent black men put us in a situation to see them buy a billionaire, a Bentley. And I appreciate Kraft and Rubin for what they do for our community. So I don't want to speak on it from that kind of standpoint and being critical of that. What I do want to say is that I find it interesting that we have time to do so many things, and yet there's young content creators like myself that struggle to get interviews. You know, it's young content creators like myself who come bearing information, come bearing the fruits of their labor. They come engulfed with a certain energy that I don't think is could be matched. It takes a certain environment to get the energy out of me, but it's always there. Nonetheless, I just find it, you know, this game, man, this game is, because on one end, I gotta be real and say, well, dude helped get Meek out of trouble. They billionaire. Ain't no telling what amount of money they done spent on them guys. No telling what business him and Jay done done. We know what they do for Meek. They rock with Meek, right? They the ones came and got him out of the prison. Steady more change in law, shout out Meek.
Bang, 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 bang.
What I'm talking about is our infrastructure. What I'm talking about is black people running hip-hop, the music industry, $1 billion a year corporation without any structure. I'm the one that told everybody that, hey, man, we need something like the free agency. We need something to solidify the parties and know who's who, know who's serious, who's not. We need some real tastemakers. We need some insurance. We need some structure. I seen Joe Budden stand next to Chris Hansen. I hadn't seen him that happy. I'd never seen him that happy. This is a white man. I like Chris Hansen. I grew up on Chris Hansen. It'll do me much better, though, to sit with Diddy.
Bang, bang, bang.
I feel much better about it if I sat with Jay.
Bang, bang, bang.
I feel much better about it if I sat with Master P, QC, Rick Ross, some of these other guys. I didn't, you know, all I'm saying is we got to do better. We got to do better with what we do with each other. We got to do better with how we handle the information that we giving to each other, how things are received by each other. It's one thing to put something out of way. It's another thing to understand how it's been received. And I think we in such a new space, such uncharted territory, that we're having trouble with communicating these things. Because
as a young black boy, I said, man, all you got to do is get your business right. All you got to do is have this, 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 and this, and, man, you'll have an opportunity. It didn't happen that way. How I got my opportunity was, I can't even tell you, I willed it. I winged it. It wasn't no structure. Like, if you go play good high school basketball, they send some people out there to look at you. These people ain't that serious, but they can get in touch with some people that is. So they see you. They see you ball. You went, you did a double-double on the number one team, but y'all lost the game. But they pull you to the side. Hey, man, such and such and such from Duke or from Miami. What I'm doing is I'm going to get you in touch with such and such, and they're going to get your profile and make sure you can get to the next level. Rap don't got nothing like that. We want to act like it do, but it don't. Everybody on the bottom level, they charging these boys for any kind of interactions. There's money to be made. There's money to be made. But I'm talking about, we got to have some structure to where it's some people that ain't got a dime that's talented. It's some people that ain't got no money, that all they need is a, you dig what I'm saying? But it also got to be a serious thing. So it's a sweet spot we gotta approach, and we gotta get to that sweet spot before we can even really talk seriously about it. But we running a $1 billion organization, corporation, without any kind of structure, any kind of pass down the information, any kind of anything, you know. And so as I navigate these waters, I wanna be clear on what my calling is and what my objective is, right? When you hear me talk, as long as my mind is in order and nothing catastrophic happens, knock on wood, nothing catastrophic happens, I'll be the one that's trying to get some game out, or sit with some people that can get some game out, that can make sure the game get to get out. People really get to feel it. They really get to see it. They really get to, they get somewhere they can put in their wheelhouse that may get them a little further. You know, so I didn't feel a way about that, because, again, I know the relationship between those guys go far past the internet. There's some things happening behind the scenes that's unaccounted for in the public. So when you see the internet go crazy like that, you understand. My only conundrum is, I just would wish that there was a way for us to communicate better when people are ready to be introduced to the business side. And I'm working on that. Shout out Jay. Shout out Ciroc. Shout out Diddy. You know, shout out Ross. Shout out Official Bel Air. Shout out Meek. Shout out Michael Rubin. Shout out Robert Kraft. These guys are instrumental. You know, it means something also to see a white billionaire ingratiate itself with this here culture. Stand next to people with felonies, been caught with guns, beat by police, stand next to, you know. And so we got to have allies as well. And understanding that is a beautiful thing for those that navigate this area, you know. And so that is that. Anything else I want to talk about today before I get up out of this joint? Yeah, man. So, yeah. So I just want to thank all of those that watched up to this part, man. Sub their podcast, subscribe. You know, people are hitting my Cash App, $LOON615. Subscribe on Anchor. People are sending donations there. We appreciate that. Stream Dead Ball Deluxe out right now. Going crazy. Stream is up there. Podcast. Tell somebody. Put a clip of it on your social media. Rock with us. You know, do the work where can't nobody see. Y'all want more real stuff like this to be out. And I hear everybody say it. There's thousands of people that listen to this. We got to push this to the next level. We got to share this content. We got to share this and let people know this is where the game coming from. You hear Joe and them start talking about fentanyl. You hear people, you know, talk about some of my talking points and things like that. This is where the game come from. It's up there, podcast. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate you.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.